Good morning. This is Pastor Kevin from the First Christian Church in downtown Vancouver. I'm reading this morning from a letter of Paul to Philemon. It's the smallest letter in the New Testament. There's no chapters, just 25 verses. Philemon was a wealthy man, and he was a slave owner, and he was converted to Christ, most likely through Paul's ministry, when Paul was establishing the church at Ephesus. And Philemon lived in a small town nearby called Colossae. So Paul is writing this letter to one of his spiritual sons about another spiritual son named Onesimus. Now, Onesimus was a slave of Philemon, and he had stolen from Philemon and ran away. And he made his way to Rome, as often runaway slaves would do. They would go to big cities so that they could get lost in the crowd, so to speak. And somehow in Rome, he brushed shoulders with the ministry of Paul, and he heard Paul speak. And Paul, at this point that he's writing this letter, is a prisoner. And we don't know if Onesimus had heard Paul speak before he was a prisoner or while he was a prisoner, but we do know that Onesimus became a Christian. And he's serving Paul, and he wants to do things right. He wants to rectify his relationships. And so he wants to go back to Philemon, and Paul wants him to go back to Philemon. But Paul's heart is that they would each now encounter their relationship as to be one of two brothers instead of a master and a slave. They're now both Paul's spiritual sons. They're both brothers, not only because they're Paul's spiritual sons, but because they're in the family of God. And the conversion that they each experienced now challenges them to think in a different way toward each other. To me, the miracle of conversion is a miracle. I love to hear people's stories of how they became a Christian. So let me read this little letter that Paul writes to Philemon, and then we'll talk more about the conversion that they both experience and how that's now challenging them as brothers in Christ. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but by your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, confident of your obedience. I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is a great letter. Most theologians do not think that Paul knew that this letter to Philemon would be circulated and that other Christians would read it. It's so personal and private. And Paul doesn't identify himself at the beginning of the letter as an apostle. Rather, he says he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He sees that being in prison is not something that he's a victim of. He sees himself as being there because Jesus put him there, allows him to be there, and that's part of where he's to be ministering right now. I find that fascinating that Paul had that kind of trust with his destiny. And what we have in this letter is three brothers now, three spiritual brothers in the same family, three people who are committed to serving Christ as Lord. We have Paul, we have Philemon, who lives in a small town near Ephesus, and it's strongly implied in the letter that Philemon owes Paul, so why would he owe him? Because he was converted under Paul's ministry, is the most likely interpretation here. And we know that Philemon now has a church in his home. And then we have Onesimus, who's a runaway slave. He is a slave of Philemon's household. And he ran away. He went to Rome. And it's interesting because now Paul is challenging the mindset of both Philemon and I'm sure also Onesimus. For Philemon, he's saying, please look and notice that this is your brother. Let me read that verse. It's verses 15 and 16. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, for how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He's saying, this is now your brother. This isn't a slave, this is your brother. And he's challenging him to grow in his relationship with Christ, to see things even more through the eyes of Christ. There's a concept in Christianity called sanctification and the process of sanctification. And what that is the process of being made holy, the process of being made separate from the ways of the world, the process of being more like Christ. And it's a process that in this life never ends because we never reach total perfection. We're always growing. And we need to be patient with each other in that because all of us are growing in different areas at different times, but we're all moving towards being more and more like Christ. At least that's the idea. We can resist it and slow it down. But Paul here is encouraging Philemon to say yes to it in this one area that apparently Philemon may have a problem with. See, slavery doesn't really jive with Christianity. It doesn't jive with the love of God. And I was thinking, well, what if Onesimus wasn't a Christian, but he'd become Paul's friend? I think the appeal then could be from the parable of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus points out to this lawyer that basically everyone that crosses his path is his neighbor, and he's to love his neighbor as himself. So the love of Christ is calling him to conversion, to a deeper conversion. We're told in Hebrews chapter 12 that we should lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. See, sanctification is the process of laying aside every weight and every sin that clings closely to us. When we are converted, often there's some areas of our life that have a very, very demonstrative change, shocking change. But there can be other areas of our life that change comes in a more slow way, but it will come. Our challenge is to keep saying yes to the Lord. Keep saying yes to his ways over our ways. I've found that in my own walk, so much my struggle is between my head and my heart. My ego is often what my head or my thoughts will feed. My heart is where the Lord is challenging me to receive and accept his love for others and the role that I can play to bring them to an understanding of the love of God and to lay aside my own selfish desires and interests. So Philemon was a wealthy man, and owning slaves was a sign of wealth in that culture. And in that culture, it was legitimate to be a slave owner. But Paul's saying, hey, in God's culture, you can't own Onesimus. And in fact, Onesimus is now your brother. Now imagine Onesimus is being challenged to not be bitter and angry towards this man that he ran from. He ran from him for a reason. He probably didn't like to be like being a slave. He probably didn't like how slaves were treated. And now Paul is challenging both these brothers to see each other as brothers in Christ and to let the conversion that started in each of their hearts to keep happening. I was intrigued recently when I once again looked at the history of C.S. Lewis's life and his conversion. And it was kind of a slow conversion. He was going to church as a child, but then when his mother died, his father went into a deep depression and he got sent to a boarding school. And he basically quit believing in anything. But then later, when he became a more intellectual person and a teacher, he got into atheism. He started believing in something. What he believed in was that God did not exist. But then he went through a partial conversion where he came to accept that there is a God. And you can read about his conversion in some of his writings about just how that happened. But he still didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But the day that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God is described by him in an amazing way. The day was September 22nd, 1931. And we're told that C.S. Lewis was in a motorcycle sidecar owned by his brother. And he and his brother were on their way to the zoo. And C.S. Lewis, he'd had some recent conversations with Tolkien and other Christian intellectuals, and he'd been challenged about whether or not Jesus Christ was a real figure and could truly be the Son of God, sent by God to die for our sins, and that he did rise from the dead. So Tolkien challenged him, saying that perhaps some of the mythology that talks about this is just a foreshadowing of what God actually literally did for us in history. And C.S. Lewis had been thinking about this, but the day that he got into this sidecar, he wasn't really in thought at all, and here's how he describes the experience. I was driven to Whipsnade, that's where the zoo was, one sunny morning. When we set out, I did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when we reached the zoo, I did. Yet I had not exactly spent the journey in thought, nor in great emotion. Emotional is perhaps the last word we can apply to some of the most important events. It was more like when a man, after a long sleep, still laying motionless in bed, becomes aware that he is now awake. It was a little while later that C.S. Lewis went back to church, to the Anglican church, took communion, and publicly identified with Christ to the church. And we know from his writings and his biography that he had to keep learning and growing in his journey. He wasn't perfect at that point, but he had experienced the miracle of conversion. Philemon had experienced the miracle of conversion. Onesimus had experienced the miracle of conversion. And now these two men are being challenged to apply the kingdom of God to their lives and to treat each other with love, with brotherly love. I'm amazed at the miracle of conversion. And I want to encourage you that you are still being sanctified. I want to encourage you that if you feel challenged to grow and stretch in the way that you love others, it's not by accident. It's because something is at work within you to grow you into somebody who's more and more like Christ every day. And it's a good thing. It's challenging, but it's good. And it's amazing. The miracle of conversion is the greatest miracle of all. May it continue in each of our lives, and may God use our lives to help others see the beauty of God's love through Jesus Christ. Amen.